to my email was Manna from my own heart. Not a fan of themes either. Anyway, for what it's worth, I am energised at work by knowing that I am making a difference, and outside work by getting away from the everyday and travelling. With a speech entitled Keeping It Real, put your hands together for Robert.
Really helpful is if the timekeeper could just say the colour when they change it. So green, amber, red.
Fantastic.
Really helpful. Thank you very much.
Put your hands together for Robert. Thank you.
It was 3:15 in the afternoon, and outside the light glistened on the pavement as pedestrians went hither and thither. Inside the terminal, all was cool. Calm as we followed the uniformed attendant to the point where he indicated to wait. A barrier swished aside and we stepped inside the cabin. Seats were arranged 2 by 2, all of them facing forwards. Each pair aligned perfectly with a porthole window through which, as the journey began, the landscape morphed into an indistinct blur. This could be a description that I think we're probably all too familiar with, of travelling by air. But in fact, it was my first experience just a month ago of travelling by Shinkansen, the bullet train in Japan. Mr. Toastmaster, fellow Toastmasters, most valued guests, how important is authenticity to you when travelling? For me, I have to say it's incredibly important. When spending my hard-earned money travelling to different places, I want to feel that I'm really experiencing the country that I'm in. I want to eat the food that I think that people there would eat. I want to avoid all the tourist traps and instead go to the places that really say something about that city or that country. And I want to travel at a pace and in a way which allows me to experience the land through which I'm moving and not just to see it from 36,000 feet. Authenticity is really important. But is authenticity real? Does authenticity actually exist? I think back to the countless journeys I've done where I've scoured cities searching for that dish, that food that epitomises that country. Be it the perfect tapas in Madrid, or somehow that perfect amalgamation of German and French cuisine in Strasbourg. And quite often I did find it, but at other times I didn't, was left frustrated just going to whatever place I'd ended up in. And the same is true in Japan to a degree. I really wanted to have the tonkotsu ramen, this wonderful dish of noodles and creamy soup in Hakata. I wanted to have the black pork cutlets in Kagoshima, the freshest oysters in Hiroshima, and in Tokyo, obviously, I wanted to have the best sushi I could find. And I did that to a degree, but actually, the best meal in terms of keeping it real was an Italian restaurant that we came across on our first night in Tokyo, tired and hungry and fed up of searching streets where we didn't understand the language. And it had the most amazing, short, simple menu, well-curated wine list. It would have stood out as a good restaurant in London, or dare I say, even in Rome. But food isn't the only thing that's important when thinking about authenticity. I think it's also about where you go and the things that you see. And I think back to a trip 10 years ago to Turkey. And after a few days in Istanbul, my friend and I, we hadn't really planned where we were going to go, but we decided we weren't going to follow the tourists to the coast. We were instead going to head inland across the Anatolian Plateau to this conservative Islamic city of Konya, far from the tourist trail. Lonely Planet basically say it, well, if you like drinking, don't bother going there. Because there's no alcohol to be had. You know, what's the point in travelling if you don't drink? So, so we drank tea and we enjoyed the welcome there. But we couldn't help but wonder, would we have had an authentic experience had we gone to Cappadocia or to one of the Greek ruins along the coast? And I think this is a real problem, actually, for me. In this search for authenticity, I wonder whether I'm not only actually missing out on real experiences that are just as authentic as any other in the country and tell me just as much about that country as any other experience, but am I actually creating a new reality, a new authenticity for myself?
Green.
Thank you. And I think, when thinking about this point, I think of how I planned the trip to Japan. I did it before I really knew much about the country. I knew that I wanted to see a volcano. You know, Japan's got lots of volcanoes. Let's go see a volcano. Tick. I knew that I wanted to go to the Peace Park in Hiroshima. Sort of have to do it. Tick. I knew that I wanted to stay in an ultra-modern hotel in that ultra-modern city. Bright lights and ultimate busyness. Tokyo. Tick. But was I just reinforcing my own preconceptions about Japan by doing that? Japan as a country which is modern, but which is culturally distinct, and which is tectonically somewhat unstable. And so I fear that there is this great risk in rushing after authenticity, that we somehow miss out, that we create this different impression and we reinforce our own view of it. So I think back now in the sort of context of that view of that first Shinkansen ride. Yes, it could be seen as being somewhat sterile, a bit akin to going through an airport terminal and travelling on a plane, somewhat divorced from the country that you're travelling through. But the attendants were beautifully uniformed in white gloves and they bow to you as you get on the train. The seats afforded huge amounts of legroom, I mean, better than any business class flight. And the food available on board, the trays of bento boxes were each offering a little slice of different types of Japanese cuisine, so far from a British Rail sandwich you wouldn't believe. That was the real Japan. That's the Japan that the businessmen and travellers experience every day. That was authenticity. Thank you.